Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, I'll talk with Amelia Clark. Just as Game of Thrones was becoming a huge hit, she was going through a real-life experience much scarier than anything on the show.
It wasn't so much that I didn't think I was going to make it, it was that I wasn't prepared to make it. It was in that moment I asked them to just let me die.
Amelia Clark, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Saturday mornings at 10 on 93.9 FM, WNYC.
WNYC is supported by Off-Broadway's Vineyard Theater, presenting Do You Feel Anger?, a dark comedy about an empathy coach assigned to a debt collector's office. Written by Mara Nelson Greenberg, directed by Margot Bordelon. Tickets at vineyardtheater.org. Ascend Public Charter Schools in Central Brooklyn, where each teacher's mission is to lead students on an intellectual adventure and prepare them for success in college and beyond. More information about career opportunities at ascendschools.org.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's crunch time in Albany with the April 1st budget deadline fast approaching. And remember, it's not just about the budget in a kind of dry, wonky way. Pretty much everything the state does involves money, so the big budget deal is one way to enact things that they might not want to be on the record about in other explicit ways, like legalizing recreational marijuana use or congestion pricing. Lobbyists and activist groups are out in force. Maybe you hear some of the reporting from there. There are protests and lobbies and sit-ins and people holding news conferences. Seems like every hour in Albany right now toward this deadline, the bargaining is fierce, and figuring out what's in or out is actually tough for journalism. So I'm joined now by two lawmakers who are in the thick of this. And they are both sponsoring a bill aimed at reducing homelessness in the state, which is not getting very much attention, and we're going to give it some. It's called the Home Stability Support, or HSS Act, that's gotten support from members of New York's congressional delegation, even looking in on Albany and various New York City politicians, protesters, 12 of whom were arrested this week during an overnight vigil outside the governor's office in Albany. So we'll talk about that and some of the other marquee items like congestion pricing, legal weed, and more as they are going through. So we welcome to the show Assemblymember Andrew Hevesy, chairman of the Assembly Social Services Committee. He represents Forest Hills and around there. And we welcome back State Senator Liz Krueger, chair of the Senate Finance Committee from Manhattan's East Side. Good morning. Thank you for coming on.
Good morning. Nice to be with both of you gentlemen.
Yeah. Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Brian. It's a privilege to be on.
And I want to talk about HSS and why the governor seems to be digging in his heels despite what looks like widespread support. But first, I want to check in on the state of the negotiations. How different is it with all three of those proverbial men in the room, you know, the so-called men in the room in Albany, the head of the Assembly, the head of the Senate, and the governor? Now one of them is a woman, Andrea Stewart Cousins. How different is it this year? Liz Krueger.
Well, thank you. So we're in the majority for the first time, other than that strange 9-10 period where everything went wrong. So I really like to explain the Republicans controlled the Senate pretty much for 100 years. And now we're in charge, and it's been an amazing less than 3 months where we have been passing bottled up legislation that people have been hoping to see for decades. And we jumped right into developing our own one House budget bill after extensive budget hearings that I think the general public feels went far better than any other budget hearings they had seen for decades, where they were actually invited in, discussed issues, and the Assembly Chair of Ways and Means, Helene Weinstein, and I got along really superbly so that we could work together on those issues. Then we had our one house budget bills, many things the same, many things different. We're different houses. We have different priorities. And now literally we're in the midst of the three-way negotiations, which are sometimes the three leaders in the room, and it's no longer three men in a room. One of those people is Andrea Stewart Cousins. She said she thinks we should just call it three people in a room from now on.
I guess so. But even that, Assemblyman Hevesy, yes, has raised questions of democracy in the past, that if the two leaders, the Assembly Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader, whoever they are, have so much power to control their members, it's not much democracy. So how much input do you feel you have as an Assemblyman from Queens?
A lot of input, and I would push back against that logic. First, let me just suggest that it is a new day in Albany, and with a Democratic Senate, there is so much more opportunity than we've had in decades that you see the first 3 months, and I don't want to underplay the crucial role that Senator Krueger has played in passing historic legislation, from the Reproductive Health Act to GENDA, and it just keeps coming. But as for input and the Democratic process. This is a new speaker. Carl Heastie listens to his members. He doesn't control. He doesn't tell you what to think or how to vote. And remember, I've been around for a while. I was here through the Shelley Silver days. It was a little bit of a different dynamic. But Carl Heastie listens to his members. He polls his members, and their input and my input drives the conversation and drives the conference. So at the end of the day, when you're trying to get a budget done on time, which is our goal, and a budget that helps both people and taxpayers, you have to make sure that you don't have the 150 assembly members, or in our case, in the Democratic majority, 107 or 108 members negotiating. You need to have one person who has the confidence of all the members to do that. And we feel empowered in the assembly to let our leader, who we've chosen, to do that. So I believe that the idea that the speaker, and I don't know about the Senate, but my instinct is that the Senate majority leader is the same, that they're in control and telling us what to do is just a false narrative.
Senator Krueger, I think you and the governor have different takes on the state of the legal recreational cannabis legislation right now. The governor was here yesterday, and I asked him about his comment that legalization is not part of the budget anymore. He said that's on you and the legislature. Listen.
They have signaled that they need more time to talk about it. Therefore, I didn't want to count the revenue from marijuana in this budget. If we could get it done by the budget, that would be great. But there's a whole legislative session after the budget. And my take is it will be done during the legislative session post the budget. And therefore, I took the revenue out of the budget.
So that's the governor here yesterday. But Senator Krueger, I saw you quoted in City and State this morning saying you think it is still possible the legislature will do this by April 1st.
Yes, I do. And I am often confused by what the governor says from moment to moment to moment. But there had continued to be three-way successful negotiations between the two houses and the governor's chambers. Literally, up until the moment he was quoted in, I think, Newsday, before he got on your radio, saying that. And now we're all sitting in continuing negotiations. So I'm actually remaining confused on how you work with the second floor, but cautiously optimistic that this can get done within the budget. And as for revenue, just FYI, no one anticipated real revenue in this coming budget year because you, of course, have to start up an entire system of a cannabis agency, establishing rules, regulations, creating licenses that are awarded to people for different parts of the business, always giving time before you operationalize a new law like this. So there wasn't real revenue anticipated in the current budget negotiations. So yet again, a tad confused about what that meant when he took the revenue out because there wasn't really going to be any.
And Assemblymember Hevesy, the New York Times was reporting that your chamber is blocking legalization over unresolved social justice questions. What's your understanding?
My understanding is that you, like the senator says, we are involved in three-way negotiations. I am very confident in our leadership, particularly Majority Leader People Stokes, who is carrying the bill. And I wouldn't say obstructing. I would say you want to get it right. This is something that has gone wrong in other states. You want to make sure that the communities that have been negatively impacted by marijuana criminalization in New York are made whole, and you use this as an opportunity to let them be part of the growth of a new industry.
So what's not in the bill then that should be, in your opinion?
Well, to be honest with you, I would defer that to the senator, who knows this way more than I do. But there should be a mechanism to make sure that communities of color, in particular, have access to the new growing business.
And Assemblymember Hennessy is absolutely right. Crystal Pupil Stokes and I had developed our own dual legislation. We have been working on this hand in hand for 4 years, and we continue to approach negotiations with the governor's people that way. To be honest, I actually think we are past those concerns. We know that this is a piece of legislation in the budget or outside the budget, preferably inside, that will assure that we do cleaning of records of people who have been caught in the criminal system because of their participation in prohibited marijuana. We will ensure that there is serious money for a reinvestment in the communities who face the greatest harm from the marijuana failed drug wars. We are committed to ensuring that there is money for drug treatment and education about preventing people from getting involved in dangerous drugs, that there are opportunities for the agricultural sector to create new jobs, for the manufacturing sector to create new products, an expansion of medical marijuana so that it is easier for people who need and should be able to get access to specific products within the medical marijuana field are able to do so, and a regulation and creation of a hemp CBD market under specific regs. So not only am I confident the Assembly and the Senate are in the same place, I feel like the second floor is also in the same place, and whatever the issues are, we absolutely have time to get them done before April 1st.
Interesting. The second floor being a euphemism for the governor, I presume. My guests, Assemblyman Andrew Hevesy from Forest Hills and State Senator Liz Krueger from Manhattan's East Side. And we can take some phone calls for them on any of the outstanding issues. And there are so many, as the big budget deal that involves a lot of issues is due by April 1st. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as I said in the introduction, Assemblyman Hevesy and Senator Krueger are both sponsoring in their respective houses an anti-homelessness bill called Home Stability Support. Assemblyman, what is HSS?
It's basically a rent supplement that bridges the gap for people on public assistance between the very low shelter allowance that they are entitled to, which doesn't get you an apartment, to the fair market rent standard set by the federal government, which will allow people to actually get a rent supplement that they can go into the existing market and either get apartments, but more importantly, stay in their apartments. Because what we're having now, we're in the worst homeless crisis since the Great Depression. We have record numbers of people in shelter, but more people on the brink of homelessness. And some of the numbers are stark, including 62,333 children having become homeless over the last 7 years while Governor Cuomo has been in office. So the numbers are bad, but the problem is the projected growth. We are growing at a rate of homelessness that is unparalleled in recent memory. And so this rent supplement is specifically designed to stop the growth of the homeless crisis, which will do a number of things. First, it'll make sure that more families don't fall into shelters, which is good for those families, good for those kids, and for long-term their health. But as importantly, it's good for taxpayers because placing people in shelters is three times as expensive as keeping them in their homes with a simple rent supplement.
Senator, the two houses of the legislature are for this, and the second floor is not.
Unfortunately, the governor has not seen the wisdom of investing the money. I am so delighted and honored that Assembly Member Hefesy actually asked me to co-sponsor his bill in the Senate because he is 1,000% right. And before I was a senator, Brian, and there was no reason you would know me, I ran anti-poverty programs. And one of the programs I ran here in New York City was a program under contract with the City of New York to do exactly what this law and program would allow us to do. It provided assistance to families who were public assistance eligible at the brink of losing their homes and ending up in the shelter system. It allowed us, the contract required us to dig into what got them to this point, were there other benefits they were eligible for they hadn't been receiving that we could help use to pay the rent, and a rent supplement above and beyond the public assistance grant. It was an amazingly successful program, and we operated, I operated in five sites, and other not-for-profits operated, I think, in another seven sites, 12 in total. It was incredibly successful. After I left advocacy and became a senator, for a variety of reasons through different mayors, that program disappeared. And when I saw this bill, I knew that this was exactly the right answer. And meanwhile, of course, we've seen this ratcheting up of the numbers of homeless families and singles, but the real growth in families. And guess what? When they lose their homes, you not just create one more homeless family, you actually usually lose that apartment to affordability, because once it's empty, it will go into this crazy system where landlords can skyrocket the rents through MCIs and IAIs and vacancy bonuses, which means you've lost that apartment for any other low-income New Yorker. So you lose twice. For one more family who didn't get an affordable apartment, while this family ended up in the shelter system. This is so important in common sense and so inexpensive, as the Assembly Member said, compared to the cost of keeping anybody in a shelter, and even for a short period of time.
And this bill, our listeners may not realize, is getting a significant amount of support and attention from members of Congress. 11 members of the New York congressional delegation, mainly from the city, wrote an open letter to the governor urging him to support this. They were all Democrats, but a range from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to Staten Island's Max Rose signed this letter. But Assemblyman Hefesy, is the governor balking because the state would pick up these upfront costs while municipalities would be the one to save the money on shelters?
Well, let me touch on one thing before I answer that question directly. Let me just suggest that this position that the governor is taking falls into what I have come to be my theme as social services chair of bad policy. And bad policy for me has to have two adjoining characteristics. The first one is that you're going to hurt people. By not acting, you're hurting people. And then the other adjoining characteristic is you're going to waste taxpayers' money. So if you're hurting people and wasting taxpayers' money, that's what I would term bad policy. And the recognition of that is across the board. And you're right to mention the 11 congressional members, but I would also like to mention that Republicans, 30 Republicans in the Assembly, are for it. We have Republican senators on the bill. The former Republican candidate for governor, Mark Molinaro, who's the Dutchess County executive, is for this as well. Mm. We pretty much have everybody run the table across the board in state and city government, and even on the federal level, are for this, except for Governor Governor Cuomo. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't understand his rationale, because what he's fighting to do is to allow the continuation of the growth of the homeless crisis, which is bad for people, and it's going to cost us money, not only on shelters, and let me opine for 1 second, but the families and the children that you are allowing to become homeless. And I want to be clear, if we don't act this year, another 10,000 children are going to become homeless on top of the 62,333 that have become homeless since Andrew Cuomo became governor. But those kids are going to be exponentially more likely to have difficulty in school, and then they're more likely to wind up in the criminal justice system and or on public assistance in perpetuity. So I believe this is bad public policy, and that's why you have such a huge, broad coalition led by myself and Senator Krueger to fight this.
Is there a real estate lobby issue here? Are they on the other side?
No. Estate actually supports this program.
Because they get subsidized.
And so do the landlords.
Even when I ran a variation on this program 20 years ago, I used to give this little talk to landlords: you can't get blood from a stone. So if there is actually a money available to help the poorest families pay their rent, they will pay their rent. You will get your rent paid. That's what you would like to see. So this is absolutely a program supported by real estate.
We have to take a break. We'll continue in a minute and finish up with New York State Senator Liz Krueger from Manhattan, New York State Assembly member Andrew Hevesy from Queens, and your call. Stay with us.
All the radios in my house are turned either to AM or FM WNYC.
WNYC listener Legacy Circle member Marsha Kaplan Mann.
WNYC, it is the radio station of New York City. We have to keep it going. It is our radio station.
Include WNYC in your estate plan. Call 646-829-4587 or email legacygiving@wnyc.org.
WNYC supporters include Riverside Memorial Chapel, for generations a symbol of Jewish tradition. More info about arranging or pre-arranging funeral services available at 212-362-6600 or riversidememorialchapel.com. Hadestown, a new Broadway musical that intertwines two mythic love stories and invites audiences on a journey to the underworld and back. More at hadestown.com. You value the programs you hear on WNYC. That's why you're listening right now. So are thousands of others, people who would learn about your business on our air. Learn more about corporate sponsorship at wnyc.org/sponsor.
And coming up at noon on All of It, choreographer George Faison reflects on his career and his upcoming honor at the Lotus Music and Dance 30th Anniversary Celebration at noon on WNYC.
This is WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820, NPR News and the New York Conversation.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with New York City Assemblyman Andrew Hevesy from Queens and State Senator Liz Krueger from Manhattan. And Paul, who I'm guessing works in the TV or film industry. Hi, Paul. You're on WNYC.
Thank you. I am now about to retire from the film and TV industry, but I'm a stakeholder, even though I live in New Jersey, because I pay New York employment taxes, as do thousands of my union brothers and sisters employed in film and television. And how short-sighted it would be to remove the film and tax credit from New York City. This is not about corporate welfare. Corporate welfare, and it's debatable about the Amazon deal, and this is nothing comparable.
Who wants to remove it, Paul?
The working families in the New York area that pay employment taxes. It would be a net deficit to New York. They will abandon. These production companies will abandon New York City.
And, Paul, I'm going to leave it there. This seems to be the issue of the moment on our phones. We'll get one more in on this. Susan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, yes, I am in cahoots with Paul here. It's really important to reinstate our New York TV and film tax incentive program. We are homeowners. We are hardworking New Yorkers. We not only does it help us directly, but indirectly with all the taxis we take, the restaurants we use, the caterers, and so on, the trickle-down effect. Our economy is dependent on it. We're going into pilot season, and the last time there was a delay, all the production moved to Canada. We cannot afford this economically as a city or as individuals.
Is it on the brink? Who's proposing to kill it, Susan?
It just isn't being reinstated, and time is of the essence. It's pilot season. If they need time to build their sets, if they don't reinstate it right away, productions move. It happened when Patterson was in office.
Susan, thank you very much. Senator Krueger, is this on
thank
the chopping
you.
Block? And let me just reference,
no.
since our time is, no, it's not on the chopping block?
No, it's not on the chopping block. The governor said maybe that we should end it. No one else has suggested that. The Senate put in our One House bill a continuation commitment. It's not on the chopping block this year because there's technically two more years left in the existing law. But people are concerned about showing a multi-year commitment because that caller was absolutely right about TV shows planning for the future. So the Senate made it clear that we support continuing this into the future. I don't believe the Assembly made any symbolic effort to say it did not support this, although I'll leave that to my friend, the Assembly member. And the only one who suggested ending it was the governor in a newspaper story yesterday. And speaking for the Senate Dems, we completely agree with your caller. This tax credit has a documented value year after year after year, evidenced by the sheer number of people who have jobs they wouldn't have otherwise. It's working, and the Senate is certainly not proposing ending this credit. So we really am glad that you brought that up today.
So Assemblyman Hevesy, being from Queens, the first caller referenced the comparison that was it the governor, I don't know, who made to Amazon or somebody saying if we're trying to set a standard here of not subsidizing well-off industries, TV and film would count. So what's your response to that?
Well, first, completely apples and oranges. And I want to thank Susan and Paul for their calls, particularly Susan for using the word cahoots. I haven't heard that in a while, which I appreciate. But I would suggest that the Assembly, to my understanding, didn't make a statement on this in the budget because the senator is right. We didn't need to. But I am certainly for the film and tax credit because just like the senator suggested, there is a guaranteed return on our investment, that there are jobs and all of the economic activity that go along with it. This is a tax credit that makes perfect sense. As to the Amazon deal, I believe, and I know this is dangerous water a little bit, but I believe that the Amazon deal could have been a good deal if it was handled properly. It was politically mishandled at a number of levels, and New York lost out. There are no winners in that deal. But if it had been handled properly, we could all be congratulating each other on what a great job we had done. It was just a missed opportunity for economic development. But just to go back to the point that Susan and Paul raised, I am certainly for the film and tax credit, and I don't want to go out on a limb and suggest that my entire conference is, but I have not gotten any sense from my colleagues in the Assembly that anyone has a problem with the tax credit.
I think a cahoot is a rare insect species native to the Southwest, but I'm not sure. We have about 45 seconds left. Rent reform, in or out of the budget? Do we have to wait until later in the spring for that,
yes,
Senator Krueger?
Absolutely out of the budget. Yes. These are critical issues, complex bills. The governor didn't present any actual bill language in his budget. He just made a threat that he would cut funding for the tenant assistance unit if we didn't pass something he would slide into the budget at the last minute. There is no reason for these bills to be dealt with in the budget. The two houses will successfully pass same as legislation before the end of session, and then the governor will be asked to sign or veto.
All right.
And I would be shocked if he didn't sign.
Clarity from State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan and Assemblyman Andrew Hevesy from Queens. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Brian. It's been a pleasure. Thank you,
Senator. Thank you for having us on. Thank you, Assembly
yep.
member.
Sure.
Support for WNYC comes from Geico Insurance, celebrating over 75 years of providing auto insurance for drivers across America. Geico can also help insure motorcycles, RVs, homes, apartments, and more. Information at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
The Public Theater, presenting the 2019 Onassis Festival in partnership with Onassis USA. The collision of democracy and art is the theme of this three-week festival, celebrating Greek and American artists. More at publictheater.org.
An estimated 1.6 million Americans don't have access to clean running water, but a lack of data has kept the scope of the problem hidden. Today on The Takeaway, Tanzina Veka looks at one organization mapping water poverty in the U.S. at 3 o'clock on 93.9 FM.
This is WNYC, FM, HD, and AM, New York.